Boom shakalaka. Remember people used to say that? Hey man, welcome to another episode of the Freedom Train podcast series. I am your homeboy, Joseph Ward. And as always, I'm joined by the homie, Mr. Patrick Irvin. Word, getting down, man. Keeping it down. Y'all get to see our beautiful faces. How you like me now? Gold teeth and a smile trying to take me out the game, but I'm still buck wild. Hey, having fun with that. But appreciate y'all coming back for another episode of the Freedom Train Podcast Series. Remember that the Freedom Train Podcast Series is brought to you by PAX Inc. And PAX Inc. is a black development organization aimed at developing the black community to its maximum potential through a focus on education and economics with a trace of hard work, honesty, and integrity. And you can learn more about PAX Inc. by visiting their website at www.pactsinc.com. org. When you go to the website, you see the menu, and within the menu, and it's important for this episode too, and moving forward, in the menu, they have something called the Codes of Conduct that PAX Inc. created for themselves and for Black America to try to help us be able to get on code and have some kind of singularity. And you can check that out. You can learn how to become a member, how to donate, how to get involved with the organization. There's a Learning Center tab with a lot of great resources. Audio resources, political resources, audio books that you can listen to, survival information, legal cases, and more informational videos that they have on their website that you can, the politics drop down box got a whole bunch of more information too, man. Y'all got to check it out. You got to check it out because you're going to learn a lot. And if you scroll a little bit down on the website, you see something that say Amazon Smile. And what that is Amazon Smile is a program for nonprofits. So a nonprofit can sign up with Amazon Smile. All you have to do is sign up with Amazon Smile program, pick a nonprofit organization that you want to help, and go shopping. That's all you got to do. Buy the regular things you would normally buy from Amazon. Bam, a portion of your proceeds will go to an organization such as PAX Inc. And in that turn, you'll be helping yourself and helping the black community all at one time. So www.pactsinc.org. Remember that Amazon Smile, because I know you be on Amazon. We know you be on Amazon because all the money Amazon got and the increase in revenue since COVID hit, we know you're on Amazon. So Amazon Smile, PACTSINC, end up. While you're online, make sure y'all visit our Freedom Train website at www.freedomtrainradio.com. You see it scrolling across the bottom of the screen. For all those who only have this on audio, www.freedomtrainradio.com, where you can check us out. You can hear all of our Freedom Train podcast series podcasts. You can also hear Patrick's personal podcast, Lessons from the Screen. You can listen to my sports podcast, the Fix Sports Podcast. You can listen to Shelby's World, as well as the Enigma Sept Hour and On the Shoulders of Giants, which is a historical podcast. So we got all that, got all of that going. Oh yeah, and I want to say this before we get going. I want to get some shouts out. Congratulations to Enigma September for getting married. Him and Felicia tied the knot. Hey man, we are ecstatic. We are excited. So we want to make sure that we send out a huge congratulations to both of you. Do your thing, man. Fall in love. Love is in the air. I love to see black love. I love to see black people doing their thing and two beautiful people come together to create a partnership. So we're here to support y'all. We love what you all have done. We love the union that you all have. So congratulations to the both of you. Also, we wanted to give a congratulations to the homie Jamie Basham, his wife just had their third child. So definitely want to give a shout out to that. It's beautiful bringing life in the world. That's what we do, building black nations. So shout out to Jamie Basham and shout out to Emmanuel Nicholson and Felicia Nicholson now. We love all of y'all. Straight up. What's going on, Pat? How you doing on this lovely day?
Not much, man. It's going good. It's going fine. It's going great all the time. God is good all the time. Yes, he is. All the time.
God is good. You got to say good. You can't say good. You got to say good.
Well, I'm a member of the congregation. I'm not the pastor. So
hey, the bishop's in the ref. Well, the dude who the pastor sleeping with his wife, he say good. Go it like that. Because he don't know the pastor sleeping with his wife.
Well, I'm not. Hopefully I'm not him either.
So, there you go. There you go. Hey, man, but we're going to go ahead and get into it because we got a lot to get into because a lot has happened within the last week since we dropped our last episode. We learned a lot of new things surrounding this contract with Black America. So this will be our fourth episode in the breakdown of Ice Cube's contract with Black America. And we do want to reiterate that we started breaking this contract down way before any of this new information came out. All right?
Yeah.
Way before.
Yeah.
Way before. Like, that's what we started like over a month ago. So, so that's where we at.
Go back. For those of you, this your first show, go back and catch up, and then we'll wait for you.
Because this is part four.
Yeah. Matter of fact, we gonna legit wait for you. You know what I'm saying? So go ahead and pause it right here. Go back and listen to the other shows, and then when you come back, we gonna get started. But pause it right here. We paused.
Yeah, all boy. Right, hey, so if you've been living under a rock and you haven't been paying attention to what's going on, because this surrounding the political landscape of America. One of them soft ass, stank ass Republican people, and we got to call it like it is. Old girl outed, or she did what she
outed.
She outed Ice Cube, but you know what? She did what white women have been doing for a long time to black men. Getting you fucked up. that's what it goes to. She did what a lot of white women have done to black men for a long time, get them fucked up. So we learned that Ice Cube has met with the Democratic Party and he's met with the Republican Party and attempted to meet with the Democratic Party, from our understanding.
Yeah. From what he said.
Right. So old girl from the Republican Party basically said that Ice Cube helped them with their platinum plan. And I'm like, you helped them with that?
Yeah, it's not.
You helped them create toilet tissue? So now I'm gonna be real. I don't believe, because they say he was a consultant with them or something like that. So I'm hoping that it was mere conversation and just points here and points there. Then he went on with business and they exaggerated that. I'm hoping he didn't sit down with them and say, "Hey man, let's do this, and this, and this, and this." So I know one. I was listening to Boyce Watkins and Judge Joe Brown. Shout out to Judge Joe Brown. But listening to them two, and there were one thing that they were hit. They didn't really stay on too long. But one thing that was hitting up on was $50 billion or $500 billion that they $500 billion that they are saying that they want to get put back into the black community.
Right.
The same thing that I've been saying since we started breaking down this country, I'm going to stay on. I just don't believe white people are going to do what they're saying they're going to do. That's just me. And this for somebody to present something like that platinum plan, infographic, and then it's like, hey, this is what we're going to do for y'all. I can't take you serious. But some information. Go ahead.
Now, I was just going to say the points that they said that they made because of Cube were the $500 billion. Apparently, it was a number. The number was a lot lower than that. It was the $500 billion. It was the designation of the KKK as a terrorist organization. And it was the federal holiday of Juneteenth. Those were the three points that are allegedly what came from the meetings with Ice Cube. And I say meetings because I'm hearing that it was like plural sit down actual meetings.
Okay.
But anyways, go ahead, continue.
Yeah, so from some of the information is saying that the Democrats called Cube to tell them that they're gonna call them back. Now that may or may not happen. Either way, the Democrats ain't fucking with them. Either way. So that's a ball drop for the Democrats, because a lot of Democrats are mad at Trump for rocking with the Republicans. And I'm like, well, bitch, why you ain't rock with them? Why you ain't mess with them? That's why I am on that. Now, the point of if Cube actually helped them with the platinum plan, then you get a side eye from me for that. Definitely get a side eye from me for helping them with that platinum plan, because from I just read it to Pat earlier, an Instagram post by Dr. Boyce Watkins that he put out was saying that he, Dr. Claude Anderson, and some other black scholars helped. Well, he said they sat down to help Cube put together the contract with Black America, not necessarily the platinum plan. But I would be thinking that we would be working for more independence. Now, I don't have nothing for letting any white folk know if you want our vote, this is what we want. I don't have a problem with that. But I do think that we should be working to create more of something for us by us and not necessarily depending on them to do what they've never been doing.
Yeah, and right there, right? Let me jump in right there, because, well, one, I don't believe that the Democrats reached out to Cube. I don't believe that. And we've spoken about that. Honestly, I think Cube is in damage control mode. He's lying, I think, personally. I don't know him, so this ain't a shot at his character or whatever, but it's just, I think he's lying. And if he really wanted to put pressure on the Democrats to work with him, then announcing that he was working with the Trump administration but was also willing to work with the Democratic administration would have put enough pressure on them for them to at least call him up, I think, especially given the circumstances being what they are and both parties competing for the black vote. They would have called him up. So the mere fact that we didn't find out that Cube had worked with Trump on the platinum plan until an old girl outed him.
Right.
That don't look good, especially when we considering what was in the platinum plan. And then also considering that the Democrats put out their plan 2 months before Cube put out his plan, which was like 3 or 4 months before the platinum plan came out. So
you got to include the Black Caucus and other groups who had similar plans.
Well, yeah, they had similar plans that they've been working on, and I think they've been working on for years. And I think the Biden plan actually pulls substantially from those plans, which is why a lot of what's in the Biden plan looks similar to what's in the contract for Black America. Because like you said, a lot of the things that Q put in here is stuff that the Black Caucus has been working on for years.
So with that being said, Cube and his team did a bad job of not, they either did a bad job of not seeing who was already doing it and partnering up, or they just didn't give a shit and just say, this is what we're going to do. But it's, you can see how it is dissipating the energy. Now you got, that white woman was smart. That white girl was smart because,
oh yeah, she knew what she was doing.
Her doing that, now you got black folk arguing with black folk again.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not doing what we're supposed to do. Black folk arguing with black folk. If you pro Cube, you're against the people who against Cube. If you Democrat, you're against the people who Republican. Black people found another reason to fight.
Mm-hmm.
And that right there. Now that we can't have that. Now, I do think Roland Martin be on some bitch shit. I saw he do because Roland Martin basically brought Cube on his show to try to trip him up and give him the business. And why would you do that? If you got a gripe with him, why would you do that in public? Why would you record that and put that out for the world to see to try to come at this man like that? But in that, we did find that Cube and his team the Cube and his team had recreated something that was already out there. That's what we did find out from that. Similar information, similar documents were already out there. People aren't working together. So now it's more public knowledge that black folk are not working together and black folk are not doing their due diligence to work as a cohesive unit. That's what I'm seeing.
Yeah. I mean, Code 3 of the Pax Code of Conduct, conservation of energy. If you want to do something, look around and see if somebody else is already doing it before you start.
Right.
And that's what a lot of these black celebrities are not doing. It's not just Ice Cube, and we're not piling on Cube. This is a, you know, a valiant effort with this document. But, you know, looking at Charlamagne and what he did with the Black Podcast Network, looking at Puffy and what he's got going on with this new black political party he's putting together. Like, all of these celebrities, they decide that we need something, and then they do it without looking around to see, well, maybe some other black people are doing this that we can throw our support and our influence behind.
So Pete, let's real quick, Pete Diddy, full of shit. So you go from, hey, we're going to hold our vote until you tell us what you're doing for black folk. You go from that to go ahead and vote, and we're going to create our own party 2 weeks before the election. How the fuck does that help? Crickets, right?
Yeah.
Crickets. It don't help. Nothing. Sit your ass down, Diddy. You should have stayed where you was. We're not voting until you give us what we asking for. Stay there. Don't wait. Don't get afraid now. Oh, shit. Well, Trump might win. Bitch, you didn't understand that when you said what you said?
He didn't. Because I don't think any of these people are politically aware. And they would. Diddy is one who would love to stand up and be like, I've been organizing Rock the Vote campaigns for the last 10, 15. Yeah, just because you're getting people out to vote don't mean you understand the political process.
Right. So now I'm not putting Cube and Diddy in the same category. Now, Diddy and
I'm not.
Myself. I know you're not. We're just making sure people listening to this understand we're not putting Diddy and Cube in the same category. But that what Diddy got going, ignore P. Diddy. Ignore his ass.
Although some scholars, activists, and ancestors might put Cube in that same category. I'm not saying I wasn't gonna say his name, but there are, and it's not just him. There's actually a pretty healthy body of black intellectuals and activists that have been kind of on a lot of the black hip hop people for a while. So we'll say that. But I agree with you in terms of, I don't think Cube has the same intent as Diddy does.
Diddy just out there just trying to stay relevant. Cube is actually trying to do something. Diddy just trying to be relevant. So we do want to set this stage for this particular podcast, because these things that come out, we find out that Cube has talked with the Republicans. I guess they playing phone tag with Democrats, but we know they ain't fucking
about that shit.
I put it like this: for me, the Democrats have a history of ignoring black people. They do. They have a history of lying to black people. The Republicans just ain't fucking with us at all. The Democrats be the ones, hey, come be my friend, and then to push you in the lake, and then try to tell you that the Republicans pushed you in the lake. So,
yeah, but that's another reason why I said I ain't buying it, because the Democrats just wouldn't to call him at all and said that they worked with him.
Yeah, that's a Democratic thing, too.
So for him to be like, you know, I tried to, the Democrats called me and told me they called me back after the election. Again, I'm like, nah, that's bullshit. I'm not buying that. That don't make sense to me at all. But there's a couple things I wanted to get out before we get into this. One, for some of the things that we've heard, like, so for one, we know that this is a political document meant to be something that is going to say, if you want the black vote, you need to give us these things.
Right.
We understand that. And we still stand on where we stand on that. These things don't mean, a lot of these things ain't going to mean anything, because they simply aren't going to do them.
Right.
And even if they did do them, they still, 9 times out of 10, aren't going to do anything.
They have
a lot of the things.
They're going to, if they even attempt to do something, they're going to find a way to make it beneficial to everybody and not just
right. Right, which is going to dissipate the effects of it, which is going to lead things essentially where they are.
Right.
So we understand that point, that this is a political document that, you know, the blah, 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 and you know, all of this and all of that. I get all of that. So, and we get all of that. We talked about it. We talk about it continuously. We understand what this document is and what the intent of it is. And we still feel how we feel, because at the end of the day, black people have to analyze things in terms of about the usefulness they are to us. Now, another point is, I still disagree with the way this whole thing was rolled out. I know a lot of people are saying, well, you got a contract with somebody. Black people need to get united before we start contracting with other people.
Well, right. And we need to do that so we can make sure the things that we're contracting, the things that we're trying to do can actually happen, because we have no real way of making or enforcing or even being an accountability piece for anybody who supposedly said they're going to do anything for us. And even if somebody agrees to this contract, what's going to make them honor it? What's going to make them do right by black people? That's my biggest beef with this whole thing. I just don't see how anything in this contract will make white people not do what they've always done. And that's just give black people their ass to kiss.
Right. And so with that, you know, you come to the point of, like, another point being, even if Trump did sign this document, the full 22-page document, he signed it, he still ain't going to get the majority of the black vote. Which is another reason why I go back to saying, before something like this has any real meaning, you got to be able to aggregate the black vote into one block, or at least into a sizable block, a block that's like, you could say maybe 30 or 40, maybe, you know, if you said 30% of the population, that would be great. If you said 50 or 60%, that would be amazing. If Trump signed this document and said, all right, Cube, I'm gonna do all these things for you, if you can get the black people to vote for me, at best he might get 10% of the black vote. Where's the motivation for anybody politically to sign this? And right. That's because there is no, not even the ramifications of enforcement. There is no assurity of vote.
That right. So we both agree with that. We both agree. Yeah. That's, and we've been saying this since episode one. We're gonna keep saying it now. That's our biggest gripe with the document, is you are expect, because we're asking white people to come to our aid. They don't do that. That's you don't remain dominant by helping the oppressed not be so oppressed. Let's jump to this documente. All right, you can make it. Well, let me full screen on my end. There we go. So you got the, so it started right here, right?
Yeah, police reform. That's where we at.
Starting with police reform. So this first bullet point is saying, and we may not make it through this whole section for this episode as well, so this may be chopped up into next episode as well, so letting y'all know. All right, so the first bullet point is qualified immunity will be eliminated. Legislation to reserve Supreme Court and Supreme Court case Plumhall versus Richard 572 U.S. 765 in 2014, in which the immunity was upheld. Before legislation is passed, the Democratic Party should oppose qualified immunity when the official party platform is drafted in August. This will pressure mayors to instruct city attorneys to not assert qualified immunity as an affirmative defense. Police lawyers can still argue why they should not be charged because they acted in good faith, but the presumption must be reversed. I know you was, when you talked about this the other day, you was like, so go ahead, take us on this.
You all right. Like, yeah, because I got a lot. No, I'm not going to go through all of it because it's a lot. But I got a whole page dedicated to just this point. And for those of you who don't know, Joe said for me to do, he said for me to do my lessons from the screen thing on this. And so I did. But as I was doing it, I realized that it might be entirely too much.
Your fingers faint.
Whatever. This one too. So anyways, qualified immunity. Like before, like the very first words, qualified immunity. We gotta talk about that. We gotta talk about qualified. Right. That's what we're going right now, right? So qualified immunity. Let me. I'm gonna lean back a little bit because this is how I do my show. Unless it's from the screen, I'll be rocked back on them like I'm in a old school caddy. Laid back. All right, so qualified immunity. Damn, my glasses is blurring everything up. I had to get my contacts when I do these shits. Anyway, all right. Shit. So qualified immunity. Qualified immunity protects officials from personal financial liability during constitutional violations as long as the officials did not violate a clearly established constitutional right that a reasonable person would have known. So, if a government official violates the constitutional rights of an individual and does it in a way or does it in a form that where the right itself is reasonably understood and there was no reasonable reason to violate that right, they don't have qualified immunity. So in order for a qualified immunity defense to go, you need questionable fairness. This is what they're trying to dissipate when they talk about qualified immunity. They're trying to dissipate questionable fairness of holding officials liable for violations of unclear constitutional rights and standards. And again, we're talking about unclear things that you just aren't sure of, or things that could be muddied. The possibility that fear of liability could overly constrain government actions. So they're worried about that. And they're worried about the substantial cost of litigation for government officials, even if no violation occurred. So they're worried about people just trying to sue government officials just because they don't like them. They ain't do nothing to them. They just don't like them. So those are the reasons why they put qualified immunity in place. But keep in mind, qualified immunity only applies when somebody is doing their government job and they violate somebody's constitutional rights in a way that a reasonable person would not know that they are violating your constitutional rights. Now, the reason I'm harping on this is because explain to me how a cop beating a black man to death or shooting a black woman or raping people or stabbing people or anything like that is reasonably unclear that it's a violation of their civil constitutional rights.
Sound like a bunch of bullshit to me.
Right. So this is what I'm saying with this point. This is one of those points where it sounds good, but it doesn't mean anything because there is no instance of a violation of when we're looking at cases of police brutality. There is no instance to where you could assume that a reasonable person wouldn't have known that there was a violation of rights going on at the time. Like if a cop just pulled his nightstick out and started beating you across the head, a reasonable person would assume that this person is having their constitutional rights violated. Mm-hmm. Now, we do get into the conversation about what reasonable means, and that goes into what you were talking about earlier about expecting white people to do anything other than be white people. But I don't see where eliminating qualified immunity is going to do anything for us. So then we get on to the next point. Legislation to reverse the Supreme Court case Blumhoff v. Rickards v. Rickard 572 U.S. 675 2014, in which the immunity was upheld. Now, Plumhoff v. Rickard in 2014, the case did involve qualified immunity with regards to the use.
And that's the video you shared with me, right?
That's the video I shared with you. As a matter of fact, you know what we can do?
You can play it.
Yep. Share it here. Matter of fact,
we're gonna show you the video.
So this is the video.
We gonna show you the video. So you ain't go, you gonna narrate it.
So yeah, I guess I got to, huh?
In this video.
So in this video. So the cop walks up to the car. And he asks him, he asks him, has he had anything to drink? And he asks him for his ID. So the guy sounds like he's saying he don't have it. So he says, where are you coming from? He says he's coming from a hotel. Mm-hmm. He said, what hotel are you coming from? He said, I'm not sure the name of it, but it's down the road.
Right.
So he's trying to go get something. He tells him to step out of the car. He backs up. He says, step out of the car.
But it pulled
off. Guy drives off. Guy drives off. Yes. So now he's getting back in the car. He's chasing.
Police chasing the dude in the car. Ride down the road.
Yeah, chasing him in the 90s Corolla.
Right.
He's calling it in. He's got one southbound. Now the other cops is there. They got him fenced in now, but he's still trying to get away. So you see the cop trying to break the window to get in. Another cop got the guns drawn. And at this point,
they just start opening fire.
Yep, they shooting. Bop, 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 bop. They go about 5, 10, 15, 20 shots. So he says shots fired. He attempted to run over our officers. Now we got a wreck.
Mm-hmm.
So they pull up. He ran into the thing, and now he's in that vehicle dead.
Oh, so, okay. Because when I first saw it, it looked like this was a cop vehicle, but this is the dude's vehicle.
That's the dude's vehicle.
Because they shot him.
Dude's vehicle. Yeah, they shot him, and they're not sure if he died from the gunshots or if he died from wrecking. I think it's pretty clear which one he died from. But
So hold on. So, because when I saw, I ain't gonna lie, when I first saw this video, I was like, well, what did the cops do wrong? That was my first thought. I could be wrong, but I was like, what did they do wrong?
Here's the thing, right? And this is my thought as well. I don't necessarily see where they did anything that you could say was unreasonable.
Right.
Especially at the point of, I'm just asking you to get out of the car, and now I'm trying to get you out of the car, and you still trying to drive away. And, you know, even though somebody could say it wasn't, no, he wasn't trying to run them cops over, he's just trying to get out of the way. At the point that the cop is trying to get you out of the vehicle and you're still driving, they're going to say you're trying to run me over.
Well, because it seems like at some point, it seems like they felt like he was using the car as a weapon. Now, my first thought as I was seeing it, though, just seeing it again, I was like, well, they could have shot the tires.
Yeah, but that's not the way the training is.
Right, right.
Because at that point, him and his car was a threat. And not just a threat to the police officers, but you saw there were other cars on the road while mm-hmm. he was driving. Mm-hmm. So now you're a threat to the public safety.
Right.
So now they are legally able to fire on you with lethal intent. And to keep firing until the threat is neutralized, because they can say they're protecting the public.
Right, right.
So, but here's the thing with this case, and we could, the case is interesting enough. The case did involve qualified immunity, right? With regards to the use of deadly force towards a fleeing suspect. But this didn't help solidify case law around qualified immunity. So I'm kind of wondering why they even selected this particular case to highlight.
Right. That's why I'm at. Like this, I felt like you could have picked something better. Hell, you could have picked George Floyd.
Right. Right. Well, here's the thing, right? If you're talking about overturning decisions that are going to have a major difference, like he's talking about, qualified immunity was upheld during this case. Well, it was, but it had already been upheld a bunch of times before. You got to go back to the first precedent if you really want to make an impact. Right. So in this case, but even to that, this case was centered around the use of violence towards a suspect fleeing officers. That was the primary motive around this case. the case. So, and it wasn't even a precedent setting in that regard. And there was a female in the car with him. They were both killed. 15 shots were fired into the car, killing Donald Ricker and his passenger. The car eventually crashed, as we saw. Now, the officers did claim QI, but that qualified immunity was rejected by lower courts. And then it was overruled by the Supreme Court in May of 2014, and the decision was unanimous. They said that Rickard posed a grave threat to public risk, and the officers acted reasonably using deadly force. They also said that the number of bullets was reasonable, stating that if cops needed to fire their weapons to end a threat, they didn't need to stop shooting until the threat was ended. The court decision also said that they didn't violate any laws at the time, so they were subject to qualified immunity, even if they did violate the Fourth Amendment right, which is protection from illegal searches and seizures.
Right.
Now, but here's the thing, right? Here's the thing, right? Qualified immunity protects the individual from liability. It protects the individual police officer. It does not protect the police off the police department. It does not protect the city. It does not protect the institutions.
Right.
It protects the individual. So, but you like, you had all of these other cases you could have picked from. Scott Harris, 2007. Graham Carter, 1989. All of these cases, the Supreme Court dealt with high-speed chases and things that more directly set precedent for Plum v. Rickard, if you wanted to talk about that. But if you want to talk specifically about QI, you had Harlow Fitzgerald, 1982. You had Anderson v. Creighton, 1987. Pearson v. Callahan or Safford v. Redding, both from 2009. You had all these earlier cases
you could have went
that helped solidify.
You could have went back to the originals. Pearson versus Ray in 67.
Right. Why not go back to the originals and get the precedent scrapped from the beginning? But even to that, I continue to say qualified immunity being, and these points all tie together. These next three few points all tie together about holding officers personally responsible. I'm going to save that argument for once we get there, because I've already gone kind of long. But this point about qualified immunity makes no sense. It goes on, before legislation is passed, the Democratic Party should oppose qualified immunity when the official party platform is this pressures mayors to instruct city attorneys not to assert qualified immunity as an affirmative defense. Police lawyers can still argue why they should not be charged because they acted in good faith, but the presumption must be reversed. And here's the other thing with qualified immunity. It prevents them from having to go to trial. So it has to be established very early on in the trial process. But again, I say it does not prevent the systems themselves from being charged. So I don't, but again, this goes into holding the individual police officers responsible, which is an overall theory and sentiment that I can get behind, but I don't think it's going to work. Anyways, what are your thoughts on QI? I had a lot of notes. I cut them short because we're running long. What are your thoughts on QI?
So, because if we're talking about something that protects the individual officer, well, it sounds like some like I said earlier, it sounds like some bullshit. Anyway, it's just more laws and more jargon to help keep police, keep rogue and race soldiers on the street. That's what it sounds like to me. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm gonna be honest, I don't have a problem with it being eliminated, understanding the breakdown of what qualified immunity is. I don't have a problem with it being eliminated. The thing with it in this document is, how is this document going to eliminate it? That's my question off this. How is this being presented to whichever party's in charge, whoever, whatever, when they see this, what will make them say, all right, you know what? Y'all right. Qualified immunity don't really do nothing but help us protect the officers, the individual officers, even more. Could have picked a better case, but what's going to make them say, all right, we're going to take it out. We're going to eliminate it. That's where I'm at with this.
Yeah, I don't. Well, what, it covers all government officials, so they're not going to eliminate it because it's not just for police officers. It's for all government employees doing their jobs that have to interface with the public that might be involved in a situation where doing their job could potentially put them in violation of somebody's constitutional rights. So they're not going to eliminate it. But even if they did, I don't see how it makes things better for black people in America.
Well, also, it just, you know, looking at it and reading it, it's how do you not know you violating somebody's rights?
That's the other question I have.
Like, come on, man. Like, so you know you won't let nobody do this to you. So how do you not know you're not violating somebody's constitutional rights?
That
don't make sense to me. So, and you know, with that, the qualified immunity is clearly something to keep the powerful and the poor and the people who don't have no power, subordinates and things like that. We see that. Now, I don't have a problem with this having with them saying we want to eliminate qualified immunity. I don't have a problem with it, but you know, I just don't see. If I'm a white person in charge, I'm looking at this document and I'm laughing because I know you ain't gonna make me do it.
Yeah, and I'll stand on those points. I don't see a problem with it, qualified immunity being eliminated. I do see where government officials would feel some type of way, especially if you're somebody that interacts with the public regularly, and now you're worried about whether or not doing your job is going to get you in legal trouble. I think it's a weak argument, but I can intellectually understand it as right. an argument. But I don't see how it's going to do anything to change anything for black people in America. But
The question is, well, what are you doing when you're doing your job? If you're worried about somebody calling qualified immunity, what are you out there doing?
Right. Especially law enforcement. So, again, it's one of them things. I don't have a problem with it. Go ahead.
I can understand it more for law enforcement than other government officials. Anything that will come for you, like any level of enforcement, of law enforcement, I can understand those people having qualified immunity because I could be a police officer literally doing what I'm supposed to do and somebody feel like their constitutional rights are violated and go from there. So I can understand that, but for across the board government officials, nah.
Well, you also have some called absolute immunity, which is, you know, but that's a whole nother discussion. But yeah, that's why I said intellectually, I understand why qualified immunity exists, especially for police officers. Right. So I don't have a problem with it being eliminated. I don't have a problem with it being in place. I don't have a problem either way because I don't think eliminating it is going to make any difference. That's just me. Because you remember, body cameras was supposed to make a difference.
And they don't. What? Right. And see, that's a great point. And basically, I'm a pile on to that because at the end of the day, you still expecting white people to convict white. Well, you're expecting people who uphold white supremacy to convict people who uphold white supremacy.
Right.
And every now and then they'll throw somebody away. But for the most part, they're not doing that.
Yeah, you got less than a 5% conviction rating when cops go to trial. I mean, what are we doing?
I mean, all right, we'll lock Amber Geiger up. We'll give her some time. But these white boys out here, these white men out here killing people, nah.
Yeah, and they turn Amber Geiger into America's sweetheart in the process of locking her up.
So, because whatever happened to the cop that shot and killed Tatiana, what was her last name, Taylor or something? That was the other thing in that. Because remember, and it was three things in that, in like around that Dallas area. It was the Botham Jean, Tatiana lady, and then the guy who testified with Botham Jean, who ended up dead two weeks later when they say a botched drug deal.
Yeah.
So yeah. Other than, because I can't remember if the cop who killed A. Tatiana was convicted of anything. I can't remember. But
I don't think so. Not yet, anyways. I don't think so.
So, I mean, you said this before. It's not that we need to change the laws. It's that the laws need to be enforced equally for everybody.
Right. I'm going to keep saying it because that's what it is.
That's not happening.
Yeah, you can't legislate away culture and behavior.
Right.
And that's the problem. It's not the laws. It's the way they're being enforced. It's illegal for a cop to kill you. We don't need a law saying that that's illegal. What we need is enforcement of the law that already says it's illegal.
Right. Right. So there it is. There it is, folks. You have it.
So the next point, mandatory malpractice insurance to be carried by police officers like lawyers and doctors do. This protects victims' ability to collect on bona fide claims, insurance to be paid for by police departments. As a result, an officer who creates too many legal actions will be dropped because of financial pressure by rising insurance rates rather than requiring another officer to cross the blue line. Insurance companies will also demand de-escalation training for lower rates. I got a bunch of problems with this one, but go ahead.
Once again, like we talked about last episode, is how does this improve or eliminate that racist culture? Because, I mean, all right, mandatory malpractice insurance, but at the end of the day, somebody still got to make sure that happens. Somebody got to make sure that, because they are already paying black people off already right now. So you do something, you kill somebody, you go on leave. We'll pay you while you're on leave. We pay them. They sue the police department, sue the city. We give them their money, and we keep killing black people. That's where we at with this Breonna Taylor. That's exactly where we are.
Yep. Yep.
So, I mean, this is another thing. I don't have a problem with asking for mandatory or saying they need mandatory malpractice insurance. I've even thought about that before myself. What would happen if the individual police officer become a financial liability to their force? They'll be fired, but they could be picked up by another police force, another precinct or whatever they call that shit. They could be, because we see it a lot. I'm an officer in Florida. I'm out here just fucking up, just killing people, doing all this stuff. They fire me. I go to Texas and become an officer again.
I'm not against it like you, but it don't make sense to me because cities are already required to have liability insurance. Like cities and police departments already have liability insurance and they pay out hundreds of millions of dollars every single year to paying people off, keeping people quiet, you know, blah. They already have that. So this is where the only difference is you're going to channel it down directly to the individual cops.
Right.
And so how do you know how they're going to respond to that? Cities could respond to that by just giving a proportional increase in pay rates. You know, right. Where if you say, all right, well, it's going to cost the extra 5% of their salaries to be insured, then they get a 5% QOL bonus every year. You know what I'm saying? Like, so yeah. Who's to say the officers wouldn't group together and the insurance companies wouldn't provide some sort of hero group rate?
But one of the things I wish we would do, and I'm going to be careful how I say this, but I wish we would stand up more. Because if black people actually stood up for ourselves, like these new generation keep saying, we're not our ancestors, we beat y'all ass, but ain't nobody beat nobody ass, because George Floyd and everybody else still walking around scot-free, ain't nobody doing nothing to them.
George Zimmerman.
Yeah, excuse me. Damn.
Because George Floyd is not walking around free.
George Zimmerman. They got these similar names, but George Zimmerman, right. And a host of other white people who have done atrocious things to black people, and nobody's doing anything to them. I wish we would protect ourselves better. I wish we would Because it should get to a point where somebody say, well, the people think twice before messing with black people because they know how black people will respond. And I feel, because I just feel like we need to be more, we need to focus more on us and building us and being more independent and protecting us. Because then we could, like, some of these things, some of these laws and things, we could possibly, things would go different. Because a lot of things that happen to us don't happen to other people. So if, you know, if Black America responded in a different way rather than just protesting, marching, making songs, doing art, all these things here, things that don't put the idea of, well, maybe we shouldn't mess with them. I wish we would be there. Then we wouldn't have to necessarily worry about the mandatory malpractice insurance, even though I'm not against it, but it would give it more teeth. It would make people think twice before they do anything to black people.
Well, my thing is this, right? Especially with the last point, insurance companies will also demand de-escalation training to lower rates. Let's not pretend like insurance companies are the friend of black people.
Right.
And let's not pretend like we still live in this society where if you hit them in their pockets, they'll change their minds. Listen to what I said earlier. They pay out hundreds of millions of dollars a year to cover up for bad cops. It's the culture which says that cops are heroes and need to be stood up for and stood in front of and shielded. That's what you need to eliminate. The cities will pay millions and hundreds of millions of dollars protecting police officers. So let's not assume like you're going to fix this problem by making it more expensive to have police officers. I haven't seen where that's ever worked. As a matter of fact, cities oftentimes trade off having to pay police officers and various other things with giving the unions more control over disciplinary measures of police officers, which in fact makes the police officers more dangerous. So what are we talking about when we're talking about this? Honestly, I don't disagree with it, but I do feel like it takes power away from the people, because right now your tax dollars are covering those hundreds of millions of dollars. Your court fees, your fines, all of these other things are covering paying for bad actions. And the decision makers behind who's paying for those bad actors are local elected officials.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
Get them up out of there.
But now that's opened up a whole nother can of worms, because we keep voting people in who ultimately, like, I'm gonna keep saying, it ain't too many Maxine Waters out there. It ain't too many people like Maxine Waters out there.
Not that's elected anyways, you're right.
Right. And if black people had more people like Maxine Waters in that are elected officials, a lot of these things would have been challenged on certain levels and may not even exist or may not have the strength, the strongholds that they have. But we definitely have to do a better job of picking our elected officials. Cause sometimes I be wondering why people vote for certain people, and it just, you know, and then like for a lot of times it's like look with the presidential race now, people are excited about Kamala Harris because she appears to be a black woman.
She appears to be a black woman.
Hey man, when you choose to be black when you want to be, then your appearance is black, right?
Yeah, she definitely recently made the decision to be black.
I'm just saying, because people are like, well, she AKA, I went to a HBCU. All right, there are non-blacks in all the Divine Nine and whatever the other ones that you may like or don't like. They're white. There are non-blacks in all of them. So stop it.
I just think that a lot of this comes down to, look, and I teach this. There are rules and responsibilities to being a member of a society. We know the rules, but we don't often talk about the responsibilities. There are responsibilities. And with a lot of these things, it seems like a lot of these plans created are created so that the system just works for black people without black people having to work for themselves.
Hey, you can't clean dishes in a dirty sink with a dirty dish rag. You got to throw the whole sink away and start over. And basically, that's what needs to happen if we want a lot of this stuff to end. America has to be started over. But
go ahead.
All the allies, all the white people, non-white people who claim to be allies, y'all ready to work to do a redistribution of power, resources, and wealth in this country? No.
Well, I use another analogy, right? When the dishes are really, really dirty, you gotta rinse them and wash them off a little bit before you put them in the automatic dishwasher. Otherwise, they're gonna come out unclean. When things are really fucked up, you gotta put in work to change them. You can't automate this shit, and that's what a lot of this shit seem like. Well, I shouldn't have to do no work to be mistreated, to not be mistreated. Well, that ain't the world we live in.
That's not the history of humanity.
Right. That's why I said that ain't the world we live in. That ain't just America. That's period. We don't live in that world. If you don't want to be mistreated, you got work to do. Because if you just sit back and chill, people are going to mistreat you.
Right. And especially if they benefit off of mistreating you.
So when I look at this, let's kick the can to the individual police officers. And if the individual police officers are personally responsible for violations and whatnot, then they'll stop because they'll be thinking about their are you kidding me? You know how many of these police officers kill a black person and then get $1 million raised in a GoFundMe account or some shit like that?
We see that all the the people who support white supremacy, they're on code. We see it all the time. An officer would do something. He seems like he may be fired or get fired. Next thing you know, within a week, he got $100,000 in his account. How do you eliminate that?
But here's the other rub, right? We often talk about systemic issues, right? Needing to change things on a systemic level. What this would in fact do is take the burden off of the system to cover for the bad apples, and we'll put the burden on the bad apple itself, leaving the system to be free to operate the way it operates. No, actually, the more I think about this, I like the fact that police departments and city governments have to carry liability insurance and not the individual police officers. I like the fact that the police department and the systems have to bear the brunt of the actions of a bad apple. But here's the other rub, right? If the system having to bear the negative impact, the financial negative impact of bad police officers is not enough for the system to change itself, then what makes you think shifting that burden down to the individuals is going to change that same system? Wouldn't the system just find new ways to exist in the state that it's been existing in?
I mean, look, white supremacy is very crafty. That's why it still exists. It knows how to, the people in it know how to evolve over time. They got all the resources. I'm not mad at them for putting the contract together, but I do really think that our focus should be on us taking care of us and building us. I don't have a problem asking somebody for something, because you're going to ask me for my vote here. I don't have a problem with that. But it's as we're breaking it down, I really just don't trust white people like that.
I don't care who worked on this plan with him. To me, this sounds like they all got on the line together and just agreed with each other. If there was a conference about it, because again, where are the effects for any of these things?
Right.
Like, where are the expected effects? Like, if I'm putting together a contract and I want you to do certain things, you also need to know, and I need to know,
action
what
step.
I'm expecting these things to do in the action community. Step.
Time of you know, delivery on these things. This is a lot. Right. What are the deliverables? There are no deliverables in this.
That's exactly what I'm getting at. What are we expecting this thing? What are we expecting each one of these bullet points to do in the community? That's exactly what I'm getting at when you say deliverables. What are they? Where are they?
This is just
a bunch of points
right.
put on a piece of paper.
Right.
Oh, well, that's a good idea. Well, shit, just put it right. on there.
But and also to reiterate, this is not the first time these points have been put together in a document. It's just now the majority of Black people know about it because Ice Cube's celebrity helps to push it.
And I'm gonna be honest, this is why I have the energy that I have for this document, because I've seen these points before. Most of them, not all of them. I'm not gonna lie, not all of them. But I've seen most of the points that we've gone over so far. I've seen them before. So I was already prepared with my thoughts on a lot of these points because I've seen them before and I've been thinking about them before. So even to that, for me, this ain't nothing against Cube. This is specifically towards the document and the points in the document. And I feel like that has to keep being reiterated, especially in the climate we in now.
Well, yeah, where, now.
You know?
Yeah, well, especially now since all the other things have happened within the past week, we do have to make it clear that this is not a personal attack on Ice Cube. We're just going through the documents and looking at how it's going to help or hurt us. And so far, if our breakdown of it, we just don't see how white people really going. We just don't see how this document will make white people be accountable for the things that's in this document and actually do their part. So
right. So. Moving on in this next one.
Municipalities liable for officers' unconstitutional actions. Overturned with legislation, Monell versus Department of Social Services Supreme Court case 436 U.S. 658 in 1978 that protected municipalities from unconstitutional actions by police. This will add skin in the game for cities which have the most direct power to reform policing. All right. Municipalities liable for officers' unconstitutional actions. I feel like we're just gonna be redundant of what we just said.
It is if this was actually what this thing meant. And I think there was just a confusion of lingo somewhere. That's the positivity I'm gonna read into this. So for those that don't know, Monell versus the Department of Defense or Department of Social Services. Monell was in the 1970s, New York City policy required that pregnant employees take unpaid leave of absence before such leaves were medically required by their doctor. And Jane Monell sued to force the school system to revoke its maternity leave policy and to provide back pay to the affected female employees. And while the lawsuit was pending, the city revoked this unconstitutional maternity leave policy. However, it did take the position that even if the policy was unconstitutional, the city could not be required to pay back pay since it was not a person. The city was saying, since we as a city are not a person, we can't be sued for this. Both the trial court and the court of appeals agreed with the city, but Monell and her husband continued and got to the Supreme Court justice. And in June 6, 1978, the Supreme Court ruled in favor of Monell that the city was in fact a person and could be sued. And she got her back pay and the rest of the teachers also got their back pay. Now, the Monell doctrine has been used in the Eric Garner case, the Laquan McDonald case, the Freddie Gray case, the Walter Scott cases, a bunch of cases. The George Floyd case, I believe, is using the Monell doctrine right now in order to sue the city for unconstitutional actions by the department or by police officers. That is enforced by the Monell v. Department of Social Security case. So with them saying overturn that legislation overturn, I'm saying overturn with legislation, the Monell v. Department of Social Security Supreme Court case, they are saying that they want the Monell Doctrine removed from the books, which would in fact make it more difficult to hold cities liable for the unconstitutional actions of police officers. So I'm looking at this one and I'm like, yo, either I'm misunderstanding or this is a horrible typo, or they just don't have the best interest of the community at heart.
Aren't they already kind of like liable?
They are. They are under the very doctrine that they're trying to have removed. The very doctrine that this document is saying overturn is the doctrine that has cities liable for.
But that, and that's why I say I feel like we'll be reiterating what we just said. But you're saying, all right, we want to hold the cities liable, but we want to take away this document. But from what you just read, the document made the city liable.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm confused with this one. I'm confused. Maybe I could be slow. I could be slow today.
Well, we both slow.
I'd be the first to say it could be me. But it just, you know.
We both slow. Before the Monell Doctrine was doctrine, it was hard to, cities could never be sued. Governmental bodies could never be sued because they were viewed as not being persons, and you can't sue a non-legal entity in court. You can't sue something that's not a legal person. So the Monell Doctrine is the doctrine that basically said, no, cities, municipalities, governmental entities are in fact persons and can be sued. So maybe I don't understand what Cube and his team meant by overturn. Maybe they mean something. Maybe it's opposite. Maybe it was opposite day that day. And instead of, and it's supposed, I don't know. I could be slow too. I'm not a legal professional. I'm just a regularized dude with the internet that read a lot. So I could be fucked up too, but the way this reads to me, and it ain't like they gave us a lot to go off of. I mean, right. We got one point, and this point itself is only two sentences, and they didn't bother to elaborate. So what I'm reading into this is whoever wrote this point either wrote it wrong or is trying to get black people fucked up.
Well, see, and that's why when... And once again, it came from Boyce Watkins. It didn't come from Ice Cube. So when Boyce Watkins, and then the word, we have to define what consulting means as well.
Right.
But when Boyce Watkins is basically inferring that Ice Cube talked with him, Dr. Anderson, some other people, this don't sound like no Dr. Anderson stuff. I'm just saying, it doesn't.
No, Dr. Anderson, my understanding of Dr. Anderson is that he's pretty meticulous on the details, the dates, and the history and all of that other stuff.
Yes.
I can't see him making an error like this in a document that's released to the public. So, which leads me back to, did they all really sit down and work on all these things together, or did he have certain people working on certain points and they just glued it all together in one document? You know, you had your police reform team and your bank and refinance team, and you just put it all together. And was there no overall conversation about these points? Or maybe I'm just misunderstanding, because this point, outside of the modern monetary theory that we talked about last show, this point in particular is nefarious. This would do the community direct harm if it came to pass, because people would no longer be able to sue the cities for police officers fucking them up.
Now, I don't agree with this point. Definitely don't agree with this point. And I might be slow, but I don't agree with that.
We both might be. And I think this, and to those reiterating another point, this, I think, shows the respect and that both of us have for the attempt at this document and for Cube in general for attaching his name to it, that we don't want to just automatically say this was an intentional nefarious act to harm the black community. We're both sitting here like, yo, maybe we retarded and we just don't understand it. But it's right here in plain fucking English. You can read the shit. It's on your fucking screen. It don't, if we wrong, put in the comments. Put in the comments. Let us know that we misunderstand. Please do.
Right. Hell, email me directly at joe@freedomtrainradio.com and help me understand.
Cause this don't look good. Why would you overturn the Monell decision? Why would you? Unless you just like, well, it was a white lady and a white family and we don't like white people.
Yeah.
But that don't even make sense because black people are using it to get paid out.
I don't know.
All right.
So moving on. Moving on like Maya.
Federal laws regarding police misconduct to change standard from willfulness to recklessness. While recklessness still poses a high bar to identify and prosecute police misconduct, it will make it more possible. So I'm going to let you give your point. I just want to, for the audience's sake, willful misconduct is conduct that shows willful disregard to someone's interests.
Right.
Such as deliberate violations of a procedure or of expected standards of behavior. And recklessness is defined as the state of mind where a person deliberately and unjustifiably pursues a course of action while consciously disregarding any risk flowing from such action. So that's the difference legally from between willful and reckless.
Well, I disagree with this, that it will make it more possible, just for the simple fact of, if, like, going back to what we've been saying, if motherfuckers would just prosecute people who do shit wrong, you wouldn't have to change the words. It's not the wording. It's the actual people who do the prosecutions.
Right.
It's the people who make the final decisions. It's them. It's not the wording. It's not changing from willfulness to recklessness doesn't really make it more possible. It's just a change of wording. What will make it more possible if you have the right people in these places, and that's where voting comes in. That's where strategic voting comes in, more than just fucking voting for the goddamn president. People, because in this election, all of the other things you're gonna be voting for are more important than the goddamn president.
Right.
Right. So in understanding that, that's why I am a voter and I encourage voting because of all the other things that we will be voted for outside of the president. Because who gives a shit who the president is? Because either way, stuff still got to happen on the state and the local level anyway. And that's what putting the right people in place. So if we had more Maxine Waters like people in place in these positions to make sure that police misconduct is actually enforced or is actually eliminated and people are doing what they're supposed to do, then we wouldn't have to worry about changing the words. We would vote these motherfuckers out.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't believe that this would change the rate of police officers getting charged or getting in trouble for misconduct. And I agree with you. That it does ignore the human element and bias present in trials and in the decision-making process. On this one, because even like proving the state of mind is already insanely difficult. So, you know, going to reckless where you got to prove a state of mind. I think legally willful carries a more stricter punishment, I think. And it is harder to achieve than recklessness. So you also have to keep that in mind, that while it may be a lower standard to achieve, it also comes with lower penalties. But that's where you get into the debate of, would you rather have any conviction at all versus would you have a conviction that comes with a certain penalty, severity to it, but less likely to actually occur. That's an interesting debate for another day. But I think for me, when I went researching this point, because this, I've heard people talk about it, but I never bothered to research it. A more interesting and beneficial thing for me would have been, there are two standards that are currently imposed on federal prosecutors for the Department of Justice orders with regards to pressing charges on police. And these are DOJ internal documents. They're not laws. They're not requirements. They're just more like policies, internal policies. And those two standards are that the government, or in order for an attorney general or a status attorney to meet prosecution standards for police officers, the government must be convinced that the potential defendant committed a federal crime. Duh. You got to commit a federal crime to be charged with a federal crime. Duh.
Right.
The second point is the government must also conclude that the government would be likely to prevail at trial, where the government must prove these charges beyond a reasonable doubt. I think that second one, if that was thrown out and changed, I think you would then have less grand jury indictments and more people going to trial. And the trial in and of itself could change a lot of the cultural aspects if you had attorney generals in there that was willing to take it to trial. But this internal document that a lot of them are living by, because it gives them a way to get out of doing what they need to do to protect the people, of saying that the government must conclude that it would prevail at trial. So you're not going to take it to trial if you don't think you're going to win.
Right.
I think if they were to say, let's change that, I still would be like, you know, human element, blah, blah, blah. But it's something that I could see as having a bigger impact in terms of prosecution standards versus changing from willful standards to reckless standards. That's just me.
And see, this is happening because black people refuse to do what the fuck we need to do to operate as an organized unit. They wouldn't have to write this shit. I'm not even, man, look, bro. Let's just be real. I'm not even mad for him for them putting this in there. Because it's like, at this point, they're like, shit, we got to do something. We got to do something because we refuse to do something for ourselves. We refuse to do what we need to do as black people for ourselves to protect ourselves and stand up against white supremacy, other than just talking, singing, dancing, all the other stuff that we normally do. So a document has to be created where we're asking for a change of wording to be able to get prosecutions and hold police accountable for their actions. Well, really, it's if black people get their stuff together and if we had the right people in the right positions, because we vote like we're supposed to, we create voting blocks, we create power packs and all these things here, we'll be able to do what we need to do. We will have people in place and we can hold those people accountable. Okay, because we know where you live. So you messed up, we know where you live. So that's where I'm at with this. I'm not mad. I'm not even mad. This pissed me off. But I'm not pissed off at Cube and nobody who put this in. I'm pissed off at black people when I read this.
Yeah, that was an interesting point. I don't have a problem with it. I don't think it'll change anything.
Right.
Like I said, I gave the example that I would give that I think would be more impactful. If I was telling white people, I want something from you in terms of prosecuting, it would be that. But yeah, I'm with you. Like this is the kind of weak sauce we got to do, because like you said, people don't want to do what they need to do to make changes themselves.
Right.
This next point, police unions. Go ahead.
Hold on. So another a post that I saw on Instagram is Ice Cube put up on Twitter. Says, I hope all these people with podcasts and they not. I'm not reading this because I think you're taking shots at us, because we haven't said anything like this. It says, I hope all these people with podcasts and radio shows telling the world I'm too unqualified and uneducated to talk about a document I created don't get asked to pull their communication degrees and show that they're unqualified and educated enough to speak to you over airwaves. Both are true. Shit. Both could be true. I don't think the man is too unqualified to say, hey, this is what we want for our votes. I do want to take a minute to say all the people who are against him having this document, y'all need to go pull your bottom lip over your head and swallow. The man wouldn't have had to make this document if black people would have got their shit together a long time ago. So you could be mad that the document exists all you want. Are you mad at the other people who made documents like this? Be mad at everybody across the board.
Well, that's where I'm at. I think you got to hold that same energy. Like, you say whatever you want to say about me. I hold the same energy for everybody that I view to be doing the same shit, celebrity or otherwise. That's why Cube ain't getting no slack from me on this document. Because when other people have presented stuff like this, I flamed their documents. So, Cube, it's your turn. You presented something. That being said, I do think that's a bit of a false equivalency. In terms of podcasting, especially, like, all of these podcasts and shit like that, this is just people who giving their opinion, right? Like, that's what we doing. We giving our opinion. You don't have to have a communications degree to give your opinion. You don't have to have a degree to have an opinion. So this is where I'm like, okay, Cube, I get what you're saying.
Get on social media.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm getting at. Because you sound real sensitive and butthurt right now. You need to leave social media alone because clearly you can't handle it. You put together a document demanding things from the government, a political document demanding things from the government across multiple spaces of government. And I think people are right to kind of ask, well, is Cube an expert in these things that he's asking for?
Well, look. Okay. And the reason why I don't have a problem with people looking at it that way, because we have experts.
That exactly my point.
Cause like Cube is an ex, like that's like Cube is an expert rapper, entertainer, movie maker. He's an expert at that. If I come out and try to do that shit, criticize me, because that's not what I do. But now, nobody's above criticism. No black person in the history of America is above criticism because of the history that we've had of black people just selling out other black people, just not doing what we need to do for black people. So with that precedent already being set, no black person is above criticism. But going back to what I said earlier, at the beginning of the show, that white girl, white women, it's always white women. White women got black people arguing with each other about, well, you shouldn't be talking about this. He created a document, and other people created similar documents. Cause hell, what else are we doing?
But here's the other thing, right? For me, anyways, if you are sitting back reading all of this criticism, don't just view it as hate, right? Like, if the majority of the black community that's read this thing anyways, I'm talking specifically about the people that read it.
Right.
If the majority of the black people that read this thing ain't fucking with it, message. I'm just saying, right? Like, don't be like they just hating, right? Hey, there's a message there. Get the message, bro. Like, obviously, where you and your experts were aligned is not where black people are aligned. Like, get the message. So that's like if I wrote a book, and I have, you should definitely go check it out, The Chasm. If I wrote a book and the majority of black people read that book and was like, we not fucking with this book because it's full of shit, I got to be like, thank you for your purchase. I understand. You not fucking with it. Cool. And take that on the chin. Keep it moving. What I don't do is get on social media and be like, I hope everybody who's saying they not fucking with my books show their English and literary degrees to show that they not qualified to read books. Well, wait a minute. So I think Cube, I feel like he being sensitive right now, bro. Like, you supposed to be gangsta OG status.
Well, he is in his feelings with this. I mean, he is in his feelings, but, you know.
But
once again, though, that white girl did her job. She did her job.
Oh, yeah. You won't play with that.
He probably could have missed all of this if he probably would have from the beginning said, hey, I created this document and I plan on sitting down with both parties, or even after it happened, hey, I sat down with them and them and them. Kind of, he probably should have got it. He probably should have got ahead of that stuff. So
he should have.
Yeah. But let's just be real. People gonna forget about all of this in a couple of weeks.
Oh, they will. And that's why, that's another reason why I'm like, I don't even know why Cube is getting in his feelings. Cause in 3-4 weeks from now, this is gonna be forgotten. So yeah. But Cube, I'll tell you this, if you ever listen to this show, if you had contacted me and asked for my opinion, because I'm an expert too, I'd have told you. You need to tell black people that you finna fuck with Trump before Trump tell black people that you fixing, that you been fucking with him. You need to do that. I would have told him soon as this shit came out. All right, Cube, you want to talk to both parties?
Well,
you need to tell black people that.
I'm gonna come at this angle. It seemed like it was implied, though. It's a contract with Black America. Who are you contracting with? You got the contract with somebody. And there are only really two real parties that you're fucking with, Republicans and Democrats. So you're contracting with somebody.
Right.
So I assumed it was implied. That's why I'm not mad that he met with Trump. He get the side eye for me if it's true that he helped work on the Platinum Plan, but I'm not mad that he met with Trump, because and what's for me was different between this and like Steve Harvey and other people who met with them. Like we didn't even know why Steve Harvey did it. Steve Harvey and them just went up. It's not like you had something planned out. At least he had this and planned out with the actual plan to help black people, rather than just going like Jim Brown and Steve Harvey. Hey, I'm going to meet with Trump. Like, you know, so that's to me, that's the difference in it.
No, I get that. I get that being the difference, because that is a substantial difference. For me, though, Trump is different.
He is.
If he had just been meeting with Republicans, because if I had read this, I would have thought he was trying to meet with Congress. Members of the House, members of the Senate, because those are the people that can actually do most of this stuff, not the president, which is a whole nother beef I have with this. You're meeting with presidential candidates. Presidents can't do this shit.
Going back to what I said a couple shows ago, if we want to be mad at somebody, let's be mad at the experts, supposed experts who helped them put this document together.
Well, yeah, if I knew who they were, I would definitely be wondering what their contributions to this thing was, because some of these points are good and some of them are trash.
Well, Boyce Watkins is one of them that's putting his name to say that he consulted with.
Look, no disrespect to Boyce Watkins. Well, he might take it disrespectful. I'm gonna be honest, I don't care. Boyce Watkins come off as a clout chaser to me. I don't even know if he really did it or if he just saying he did it. And we don't know what his contributions are. And like, so like I don't know. Boyce Watkins has been involved in too much foolishness. Black intellectuals.
If Boyce Watkins actually did help him, and Boyce Watkins, his concentration is economics. But so if you juxtapose Boyce and Dr. Anderson has an actual background working in politics. So Boyce Watkins, you being pro-black and you being in economics, like I'm a historian. I don't have a political background. So don't come tap me for some political stuff. I can give you my opinion. I know how to read and I understand politics and stuff, but I've never practically put it to use like that. So don't come tap me for politics. Come tap me for history and community work.
I don't disagree with you. I agree with what you're saying. But I'm going back to, I think with Cube, because Trump is different and because Trump has been making claims publicly, and I know a lot of people say there ain't no difference between Trump and Joe Biden. I disagree. Trump has been publicly making claims supporting white supremacists, negatively speaking about black people, and Trump has been encouraging violence towards black people. The amount of violence towards black people during the Trump administration has gone up and has continued to go up.
Joe Biden is a more crafty white supremacist.
Right. And then, so, you know, the difference for a lot of you guys would be like the difference between a skinhead white supremacist and a KKK white supremacist. Okay, you could probably live next door to a member of the KKK And they won't fuck with you as long as you remember that you a nigga and they white.
In your place, yeah.
If you live next door to some of these violent ass skinheads, you can't live next door to one of them. They'll set your fucking house on fire. That's the difference between Donald Trump and Joe Biden. So they're not the same, right? Like, they're not the same. And so what's happening is, when you side with Donald Trump, a lot of black people, when you meet with him or anything, they view that as the same as having a meeting with the motherfucker that shot up the church in Charleston about the improvements in the black community. Like, right. What's the white boy named Dylan Roof?
Yeah.
That's how they view it. You might as well be meeting with Dylan Roof about how to make churches safer. That's how they view it. Let's be real. So we gotta stop. And all of these black folk that support Trump to say it ain't no, didn't I stop you saying that because you don't want to believe and understand the fact that you're supporting somebody that is making things more dangerous for black people and that has been having and getting black people killed and locked up and abused and all of this other stuff at a higher clip than a lot of the other presidents that have come before him in the last 20, 30 years. Trump is that guy, and that's who you're supporting. So stop with this Trump and Biden are the same shit. They're not the same. That being said, I'm not telling you who I'm voting for. I can tell you I ain't going to vote for Trump. And I can tell you any motherfucker that do vote for Trump, I'm side-eyeing the shit out of you unless you got a damn good reason, of which I ain't heard a single motherfucking one yet. But that's neither here nor there.
I'm still in the space where fuck Joe Biden and fuck Donald Trump. That's where I am. So I tell you straight up, as of right now, I'm writing my goddamn name in for the presidential thing. Everything else, I ain't gonna really get into that, but I'm writing my goddamn name in. And if you don't like it, so.
I'm gonna be real. I'm gonna probably vote for Biden. That's just being honest. I'm gonna probably vote for Biden. More than not, I'm about 95. It's a 95 to 100% chance I'm gonna vote for Biden. That 0 to 5% would be me voting for myself or voting for Mickey Mouse, because he's a pretty famous black person.
Yeah, I just for me right now, the space I'm in right now, I don't appreciate how the Democrats come at black people and use black people. We ain't got to talk about Republicans. We ain't fucking with them. But I just don't appreciate how the Democrats are use black people for their gain, and black people never get anything out of it. So unless some miracle happened between now and the election, I'm writing my goddamn name in for that presidential slot and everything else. You know, I got my ballot together. So
I ain't even seen no third party candidates that I like, which is rare. Usually I find a third party candidate that I'm fucking with. Right. I haven't even found a third party candidate.
That's what made this election just so much worse. There's no good third party. So let's hit this last point so we can wrap this up.
I was just finna say it's 9 o'clock. So oh shit, I just said the time. Oh well, fuck it.
It's all good.
So the last point, police unions can be held liable and sued for shielding bad cops, suppressing evidence and testimony to that effect, and for knowing and reckless disregard of material evidence that an officer is unfit mentally for the job. I don't have a problem with this.
Me neither. Hey, throw the book at him. I really like this, because as you were reading, I started thinking about the Tony McDade situation that happened here in Tallahassee. Those unions should be held liable. Well, not just that, but just a whole lot of other things that have happened. Like this is a good point. This is a real
Is a good point. This is a good point. Great point. The unions are responsible for a lot of the bad shit that goes down, because they encourage it and they protect officers when they do fucked up shit.
Right.
Not to mention the power that a lot of unions have in terms of in their contracts being able to make it so that police officers have to get, our police departments, the government officials have to get the written consent of the police officer before they put out any negative information about them. The fact that negative records, disciplinary action, all of that stuff can be expunged off their records in some cases in a period of 12 to 24 months. It's a lot of crazy stuff that's going on. Records being expunged, exculpatory evidence which is already illegal, but exculpatory evidence not being shown. There's a lot that police unions are doing behind the scenes that's fucking shit up. So I 100% agree with this. If y'all want to get involved on the legal tip with protecting bad cops from proper disciplinary action, then y'all should be disciplined.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So this is definitely a good one. I mess around and read the next 2 points. Well, we're going to come back to that next show because we're running kind of long with this. Overall, though, I know for me personally, I'm not mad at Cube for creating the document. I do have an issue with the document being created and may or may not have seen if other people were doing it and everybody working together. Like that's one of my biggest, that's probably my biggest gripe from the Cube side is I wish that him and everybody else who have similar documents and similar thoughts would have gotten together and made like a super group with these documents and put these things together to work together, because now you have all this fighting for black people within black people. Black people are fighting against each other. They have all these separate documents. And so you have somebody over here, well, I think my document better than his. I think my document better than yours. So it creates more silos. So I do wish that would have happened.
I agree with that.
So that's pretty much my biggest gripe on the Cube side. On the other side is I just don't trust white people. I just don't trust racist white people to do what they're supposed to do with the document.
Yeah, I don't trust racist white people. I don't trust the government to get anything done. And I just believe that this whole thing is putting the cart before the horse. Because like we talked about earlier, black people right now don't have the force to force anything.
Right.
So I'll say my beef with Cube is not putting the document together. It's not even really meeting with Trump. That's not my beef. My beef with Cube didn't really start until he got called out. I feel like he went in defense mode and started lying instead of just being honest. And like if Cube would have just been like, yeah, I met with Trump about the contract with Black America.
Yeah.
And just left it at that, I'd have been like, well, fuck it. He met with Trump. But, you know, now he's I feel like he's lying about the Democratic thing. And then I feel like he just keep trying to spin the block with more and more. Like now he's attacking people that's got a critical opinion of it. Not saying he's wrong in some of those cases, but
motherfuckers got to chill out though, man.
I don't agree. Cause if this was like, if Farrakhan had to put some shit out, like not at Farrakhan, but if somebody we didn't like, if Omarosa had to put some shit out like this, we'd be roasting her ass to high heaven and laughing and having fun doing it.
Well, true.
Why true. Does Cube get, you know, no, like, Cube, that's what Cube I'm doesn't like. Get,
Cube doesn't get a pass. And let me restate it, because that's not what I mean. I mean, people got to chill out because look at where we are. We're back to arguing again. Black people are literally back to arguing with each other again. And we're not, because if you feel like it could be improved, you feel like all these different things, even us, we could reach out or we could try to collaborate. Like collaboration needs to happen. Collaboration should have happened from the beginning. So,
and to be clear, I fully intend on reaching out after we finish reviewing it.
Right.
Like so. I fully intend, but I personally didn't want the fact that I reached out and he either responded or he didn't.
Well,
to be used as something against us.
And to kind of think about what I just said too. Once again, we started this breakdown before any of this happened. So we didn't even know like all of this was going to happen to come out of this. So we just started with an honest breakdown of the document just to see how it would happen with black people. So I'm going to take us out of that situation. I'm gonna take us out of that because that's all we're doing. We're just looking at the document. We both read the document and we had a conversation about it. Like it'd be a good show to be breaking these things down, to see, to go through it, to help people understand it better than just to go through it. Now, because we're not in the camp of like trying to trash Cube for this. We're just doing what we've been doing for the last 5 weeks. breaking it down. So I will take us back out of that situation. But I do think collaboration needs to happen with black people so we won't be fighting so much. Because that's, once again, that white girl did her job.
Oh, she damn sure did.
Yeah.
And everybody played their part.
There you go. So, man, it's another breakdown. Part four of the breakdown of Ice Cube's contract with Black America. We didn't get through this full section. So the next show, we're going to come back and get through this section. I know we got a couple interviews and things coming up. So, and y'all rock with us. Please go back and listen to the interview. We dropped an interview on Monday with musician, songwriter, Royce Lovett. He dropped a real nice song, a real nice video called Skin Tone, where he's helping people, especially black people, love the skin that we're in. Great interview that we had with Royce Lovett. So go check that out on our YouTube channel and our website. YouTube, Freedom Train Network on YouTube, subscribe. Also, once again, congratulations to Jamie Bushom for the new baby girl that came into him and that came into the family. And congratulations to Enigma and Felicia on tying the knot. Like I said, we love y'all. And all of our listeners, all of our viewers, we love y'all too. Thank y'all for rocking with us. And we're going to be back next week. Pinky rings in your face. Pinky rings in your face. We out.